On Monday's front page, anonymously financed conservative groups are starting a final push to deliver Congress to the Republicans. They're shifting money among some 80 House races. The capital of Haiti is bracing for an outbreak of cholera, and workplace drug testing is drawing complaints from employees who say they shouldn't be fired for taking legal medications. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features 911 Assist to give you peace of mind. If your airbag deploys, Sync automatically calls 911 using your cell phone and immediately puts you in contact with a 911 operator. And it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. Visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Our top story says anonymously financed conservative groups that have played a crucial role this campaign year are starting a final push to give Republicans control of Congress. Officials say conservative groups outside the GOP itself have millions left to spend on television advertisements, along with mailings and phone calls. Liberal groups outside the Democratic Party and labor unions say they are stepping up their response in advertising and get-out-the-vote efforts. Despite a last-minute surge in donations, they remain outgunned by the operation supporting Republican candidates. President Obama is planning a post-election agenda for a very different political climate. White House aides see the potential for bipartisan cooperation on reducing the deficit, on passing free trade agreements, and on revamping the No Child Left Behind education bill. Education Secretary Arne Duncan says that could go a long way toward repairing anger and animosity in Washington. Repairs to public housing can't keep pace with the needs. Federal money hasn't matched the demand for maintenance on buildings that are more than half a century old. Here in New York, there's a 3-year backlog of repair requests. Newark has closed down 600 units it can't afford to fix. It has federal approval to raise 1,000 more, but it can't pay for the demolition. Bank of America and GMAC are opening up their foreclosure operations again on Monday after a brief pause. Hard-pressed homeowners like Lydia Sweetland of Phoenix are asking why lenders often resist a less disruptive solution, short sales. Short sellers let their homes go for less than the balance on the mortgage. Ms. Sweetland owes $206,000. She found a buyer willing to pay $200,000. GMAC rejected that offer last week and said it would foreclose in 7 days, even though her broker says the bank would make $19,000 more on a short sale than on a foreclosure. In Haiti, people in the capital of Port-au-Prince are worried about a new disaster. For now, a cholera outbreak has been confined to a rural area 60 miles away. But the capital is bracing for an outbreak in the densely populated slums and tent camps. Officials are setting up treatment centers. They're also distributing water purification tablets and soap. Sue Bates lost her job of 22 years after testing positive for a legally prescribed drug. She works for a company that makes car parts in Tennessee. It changed its policy and tested for prescription drugs as well as illicit ones. Her doctor had prescribed medication for back pain that the company considered unsafe. Nationally, what many companies consider an effort to maintain a safe work environment is drawing complaints from employees who say taking legal medications shouldn't jeopardize their jobs. We'll go inside Monday's Times after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features 911 Assist. If ever your airbag deploys, Sync automatically calls 911 using your cell phone. Bypassing call centers, you're immediately put in contact with a 911 operator, and Sync will even deliver an urgent message to the emergency operator if you're unable to respond. That's peace of mind made possible by Sync. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. Visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Inside Monday's Times, Iraq's top court ordered Parliament back to work. It was elected in March and is met only once, and then for 18 minutes. The ruling by the Iraqi Federal Supreme Court added another twist to the continuing crisis over forming a new government. Nouri Kamal al-Maliki will probably remain prime minister. Here in New York, Andrew Cuomo said that if he's elected governor, he expects a battle to curb the power of unions representing state workers. Cuomo is the Democratic nominee. He said he'd raise millions of dollars for a permanent political campaign aimed at countering the unions. He says government has to be streamlined, and that means fewer workers.
From a budget point of view, you can't afford the workers you have. That's why the governor is now doing layoffs, which we support him on. But the way I get there is a different way. I don't want to respond just to the budget pressure of today. I want to reorganize the government. I believe post-reorganization, it will require fewer positions.
The larger-than-life model for the irascible judge in Tom Wolfe's bestseller, The Bonfire of the Vanities, died on Sunday. Former Justice Burton Roberts was 88. In court in the Bronx, he could be blunt, flamboyant, and temperamental. After he retired from the bench, he worked for a law firm that defended one of four officers acquitted in the killing of Amadou Diallo. He was the unarmed West African immigrant who died in a hail of bullets in 1999. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. Send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.